During this past week, I've been listening to some talkback radio, and the subject is the current crisis that we're all experiencing in this coronavirus lockdown. I was interested in one particular lady. She rang in, she called the host. She began talking, but then just after a few moments, she burst into tears. "I'm really scared. I'm scared of the future. I'm scared for my children. And I'm scared for my grandchildren." The host did as much as he could to ease her fears, but I suspect that what she verbalised is what's happening in the lives of many people in our community. We're all living in strange times, and not one of us is exempt. So whether you're anxious and apprehensive or angry and annoyed, this morning's psalm is for you. It's a psalm that is relevant for each of us during these very uncertain times. I must confess that this is one of my favourite passages of Scripture because it brings to my life a message of confidence and certainty for days of difficulty and uncertainty. Psalm 91 is a psalm for those who are set about on all sides by danger. Real danger, intense danger, comprehensive danger, danger from all sides, and even immediate danger. And this psalm tells us how we're to react as believers to that danger. This is one of the great themes of Psalm 91. How, as believers, we can learn to trust in God in the midst of the most real and intense dangers that face us. The psalmist knows that it's absolutely vital that we understand how to do that. Believers need to believe and have the assurance that they are shadowed by God, that they are, in fact, under the care of God, the one who is the Almighty. Or in the words of the Apostle Paul, when he writes to those young believers in the church at Rome, in Romans 8 verse 28, Paul writes that God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And brothers and sisters, we need to hold this promise as both our immediate and complete response to the dangers and the difficulties and the hard circumstances of life. Otherwise, we'll be left vulnerable when those dangers come into our lives. So right at the outset, I want to remind you as believers, as followers of Jesus, as God's people, that we are not to be people who are prone to panic, to hysteria, or knee-jerk reactions. But rather, as Christians, we are people who serve an almighty God. He is a God who's in control of everything throughout all of creation. Our God is the Almighty One. He is sovereign, and he loves his people with an everlasting love. As Christians, this ought to be the lens that we look through first. Now, that doesn't mean that as Christians we will somehow miraculously be immune to COVID-19, or that if we did catch it, it won't make us sick, or that we wouldn't die from it. No. What it means is that when difficulties come, when troubles arise in our lives, we trust in God's good plan. There's an old African proverb. It says this: "If God is not finished with me, I cannot die." And that's true. As long as God still has work to do in our lives, we can rest in the promise of his presence and his continuing work in our lives. And this is the assurance that the believer has when they place their trust and faith in God. So let's look at this psalm. And we note, first of all, the testimony of the psalmist in the first two verses. Before he sets out to tell us how we can experience the security in God, he gives to us a word of testimony. And here's his word. I'm not telling you about something that I don't know about. I know what the security is. I've found the security. Not because I'm in an undangerous condition. In fact, I'm set about on all sides by all sorts of danger, but I've learned that the secret of God's security in this insecure world is that I am safe. And I am safe because God is with me. Listen to what he says in these two verses. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. The saints. You see, the writer is saying, the saints, the believers, those who trust God are safe at home with Him. They are able to find shelter and refuge in God. And God shadows them. The one who truly relies upon God will have his protection. And that's what the psalmist is saying to us this morning. He piles up metaphors for security and uses names of God in order to drive this home. Look at the words that he uses in these verses. Shelter, shadow, refuge, fortress. I want to take you back in time a little this morning. Take you back to 420 AD. And the barbarians are invading the great imperial city of Rome. The Roman Empire is on its heels. The entire civilized world at the time was collapsing. It's falling apart. If you'd been alive at this time, everything that you would have known was being turned upside down. And everything was being destroyed. And the fall of Rome is going to eventually lead to the Dark Ages and a long period of just horrible, horrible time. Well, during this time, in 420 AD, there were two church fathers who were very influential. One was Jerome. Now, Jerome is the guy who had written the Latin Vulgate version of the Bible, and the other guy had a name that we know as Augustine. And as the barbarians stormed the city of Rome, Jerome was so distraught. He was so upset about what was going on, so beside himself, he went into isolation. In his case, it was in a cave. And he basically died there of depression. Society, civilization, the culture that he was familiar with and knew about was basically over, so he thought. But he fell into this deep depression and despair and basically gave up. The other church father, Augustine, wrote a little book. Actually, it's more than a little book. It's 900 plus pages long. But this book is known by the title, The City of God. And Augustine takes an entirely different perspective than Jerome did. Augustine basically says, look, there's a city of man. And the city of man is shifting and changing all throughout human history. Empires rise and they fall. Economies grow larger and robust and then they collapse. Time marches on. But Augustine in this book reminds us that there is also the city of God. And the city of God is one that endures forever. It's eternal. And it's the goal of every believer. Augustine went on to live for 10 more years after the invasion before he died at the age of 75. He went on teaching and preaching, evangelizing, writing books, and making a real difference for the kingdom of God here on earth. The difference between Jerome and Augustine was their perspective and their view of God and his sovereignty and goodness. And the main difference between the two men was where they had placed their hope. Now let's fast forward to the 1500s. And here in this era, the bubonic plague is spreading across Europe. Before it was finished, it would end up killing close to 60 million people. It would wipe out nearly two-thirds of Europe's population. And around 1527 or so, the bubonic plague came to Germany. People knew it was coming. They began to panic. They began to flee their homes and villages and cities en masse. They were filled with hysteria and fear and panic and concern. It was all very real during this time. And their fear was justified somewhat. Nearly 60 million people dead. No cure in sight. And if you caught the Black Plague, you were a goner within a week or two. When the Black Plague swept into Germany, people didn't know where they were going or how they would survive away from their farms and their jobs, how they would live, where they'd get their livelihood from. But it was during this time that the great Protestant reformer Martin Luther and his wife Catherine, after spending a lot of time in prayer, decided that they would not flee, but they would stay and serve the people in the place where they lived. They decided to stay, not because they were trying to be heroes, but they saw a huge opportunity for ministry and service for Christ. And so they turned their home into a hospital. And they began ministering to the shut-ins and everyone affected by the plague. And it's also during this time that Luther wrote that great hymn that we heard as our opening hymn this morning, "A mighty fortress is our God. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing." It's a great song. And it reflects the faith of Martin and Catherine. It reflects their trust in God's sovereign power and his protection when all the world around you is going crazy. I'm sure there have been times, like in my life, as in yours, when you've been out on a blazing hot 105 degree Melbourne day. And you've longed to find a tree or a building to find shade. And you know what it's like to find that relief from the blazing rays of the sun. Well, this is what the psalmist is trying to get us to grasp. Listen, in times of difficulty, in times of stress, in times when things aren't going well, remember God is your shadow. God is your refuge. And maybe this morning you're thinking, well, actually that's what I need right now. With all the circumstances of life around about me, with what I'm facing, I really do need a fortress, a castle around me. And here's a psalmist saying to you this morning, listen, put your faith and hope and trust in God. He's your refuge. He's your fortress. Like the lady who rang the radio station, the non-Christian world out there can't offer any real hope. They can tell you to mask up, stay indoors, keep your distance, but they can't really give you a sense of hope or security. Notice how in the four names of God that the psalmist gives here, a shelter, shadow, refuge and fortress, he forces us back into that realization that our safety doesn't come from our circumstances. It doesn't come from those things around about us. No, no. Our safety comes from our God. And what does he call our God? He calls him the Most High. Is there anything in this world that is higher than him? Is there any situation that is greater than him? He is the Most High. He is the Almighty. So the psalmist reminds us and he says to us, remember, he's the Most High. He's the Almighty. And here's the psalmist saying to us this morning, listen, I'm set about on every side by trouble. The situations around about me, the circumstances in which I find myself facing, it just feels so unsafe and insecure. But then the psalmist is saying to us, he's saying to you and to me, to each one of us, listen, hear me. Hear me loud and clear. My home address is refuge. My home address is fortress. And it's not because of the circumstances here that threaten to overwhelm me. No, no, it's because of the person of my God. I dwell with him. I abide with him. I shelter and rest in his shadow. So the psalmist is saying to us, before I tell you what I'm about to tell you in verses 3 to 13, I want you to know this. Grasp it. Hold on to it. I'm not telling you about something that I haven't experienced myself. I have experienced the security and the safety of God in this unsafe and insecure world. And when I encourage you to do it, I'm encouraging you to do it because I've already experienced it. I know the reality of it in my own life, and I know that it's real. So that's the testimony of the psalmist. And then in verses 3 to 13, in the rest of the psalm, we get the encouragement of the psalmist. What the psalmist is stating in these verses is that, listen, you who follow Jesus, you who own the name of God, you Christian, remember, you can be safe at all times and in all circumstances because of God's providence and care over you. Now let me be clear here, because these are very striking words when you read them. And they could be read, you could interpret these words to say that those who trust in the Lord will never ever experience troubles in this world. That whatever happens, God will spare his people from all the things that wage war against them. That if trouble comes, God will reach down his hand and simply deliver us out of those hard circumstances that threaten to overwhelm us. That's not what the psalmist means. It's not what he is saying. And I want you to understand this. What the psalmist wants you to take comfort in is not that God will spare you from hard circumstances in your life, or that he will miraculously get you out of hard circumstances, even though often we can look back and see God's hand upon our life. No, that's not the ultimate reason why the psalmist wants you to be safe and secure. The ultimate reason the psalmist wants you to be safe and secure is because God's providence is both wide-ranging and all-embracing and detailed. It stretches all the way down to the smallest detail of your life. Not a hair on your head can be touched apart from the sovereign discretion and the will of your Heavenly Father. And the psalmist wants us to understand this, that our God, because of his faithfulness, always delivers us or covers us. He may not deliver us out of a situation, but he will cover us in that situation. And very frankly, most often he does both. He both delivers and covers us. It's not that he will spare us of all the difficult circumstances that threaten us, but he will deliver and cover us in the midst of those difficult circumstances. And the safety of his people is spelled out for us here in verses 3 and 4. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. He will save you. He will cover you because of his faithfulness. Let me remind you of this. Did you know that Satan himself quoted Psalm 91 in his confrontation with Jesus? The devil quoted out of this psalm. And you know where he quoted it? He quoted it in the wilderness experience of Jesus in Matthew 4. And there you remember what he said to Jesus. The devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, the devil said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now this is the truth. God did send his angels to guard and keep and protect his son. But he didn't do it to spare him from the cross. Where did he do this? He sent those angels to minister to Jesus when he was in the garden, when he was praying for help, to prepare Jesus for what lay before him, the cross. God didn't deliver him from his troubles, but he covered him in his troubles. And he enabled him to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. My friends, the promise is this: God always delivers or covers his people in one way or another. Remember the words that Jesus himself said: don't fear the one who can kill the body. Fear the one who can take both the body and the soul and cast it into hell. You see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying that if you fear God, there's nothing else to fear in this world. If you fear God, there is no place in this world that can match his strength or power. If you trust in him, if you believe in him, he will always deliver. He will always cover you, no matter what your circumstance. And that's the encouragement that the psalm gives us as he lists the different difficulties that he faces or has faced in his pilgrimage with God. So we have the testimony of the psalmist, we have the encouragement of the psalmist, and now finally, these last two verses, we find the promises of God that the psalmist reminds us of. Now note that this promise is not for everybody. This is a promise, these two verses are promises that are not made indiscriminately. These promises are made only for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation as he is offered to us in the gospel. And God makes that very clear when he speaks here in verses 14 to 16. God is speaking these words. And he tells us, he assures us that we are safe. Not in being rescued from every evil circumstance of life that we may face, but we are safe in our faith in him. A faith that is evidenced, a faith that is revealed by our love for God, by our knowledge of God, and our prayers to God. So look at what he says. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You see, God is speaking here about the requirements for those who would know this kind of safety and security in every unsafe and insecure circumstance of life. And what's the requirement? That we have faith in him. And how do you know that you have that faith? You love God. You know who he is. You talk with him in prayer. These are the marks of a person who is trusting in God. These are the evidences of a person who has grace and faith in their life. The Lord makes it clear that those who trust in him will know his covering and his care. Whether he delivers us from our immediate circumstances or whether he covers us in our current circumstances. You see, Christianity does not promise you that you will escape from suffering. God does promise that he will use suffering and difficulties which come into our life. And in his own providence, he has appointed these for his own purposes, to mold us, to shape us. But it comes, and these circumstances come with the promise that he will cover us, that in the midst of these circumstances, he is with us. My friends, it is this truth that is worked deep down into our hearts, that God causes all things to work together for good, for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And it's this profound belief in the person and the providence of God that allows us to be safe and secure. It allows us to be people who are both brave and courageous in a world that is anything but safe and secure. So my prayer for you this morning is that you might know the covering and the deliverance of God in your life, that in your life he might indeed be a shelter, a shadow, a refuge, and a fortress. May we go forth with that sense, that faith, and that trust and hope in our God. Amen.